Well,
all right. Talk radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
Have you lost your mind? I mean, how is it that you can disrespect a man's ethnicity when you know we've influenced nearly every facet of white America, from our music to our style of dress, not to mention your basic imitation of our sense of cool, walk, talk, dress, mannerisms? We enrich your very existence, all the while contributing to the gross national product through our achievements in corporate America. It's these conceits that comfort me when I'm faced with the ignorant, cowardly, bitter, and bigoted, who have no talent, no guts. People like you who desecrate things they don't understand, when the truth is you should say, thank you, man, and go on about your way. But apparently you're incapable of doing that. So, and don't tell me to be cool. I am cool. Racial
epithet. You think I could turn the mic on?
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back this Monday. I don't even know what today's date is because... Oh, it's June 4th, 2012. I have some bad news for you folks. I can't see. I don't know whether or not you know this, but most of my life I've been legally blind.
No, stop it.
I am.
Okay, no. Let the sane person explain to everybody.
Let me at least
hold
tell
on.
Everyone
let
it's Reese
chocolate.
On the radio.
No, it's Reese on the radio. The number's 347-308-8701. Call in anytime. We would like to hear from you. Especially if you have something to say about Reese's blindness. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The man is not blind.
I am so.
You're not blind. I went with him to the eye doctor. He's not blind. He has a semi-strong prescription. He was at work, put his glasses in his top pocket, bent over somewhere. Glasses are gone. Now he can't see very well, but he's not holding on to the walls. He's not using a walking stick.
I feel like
he's
I
not
should
blind.
Be.
We have a walking stick right there.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, if you need to use that, help yourself, my man. So, no, Caramel is not blind, okay? Stop telling people that you're blind.
I am. I
and you're not
blind.
Legally blind.
I listen.
You are not legally
okay,
blind.
Okay, you are the one.
Don't
let,
lie to people.
Let's.
I was joking with you. I was pulling your chain. Stop
okay,
it.
Okay, in
you
the interest of full disclosure,
blind.
Let's at least get it out there.
Okay, full disclosure.
In the interest
let's
of full disclosure, Mary one day took me to one of her eye doctor centers, a place where she's employed, of course. We get down there, and this is actually a funny story. Because, you know, Mary puts me through the ringer, and I've been to the eye doctor before. But, you know, these eye centers are extremely advanced. They're extremely advanced.
Technology is
well,
a...
Well, yeah, I understand
Apple.
I understand it. But they're extremely advanced, and I get that. And I was somewhat, I want to say apprehensive, but yet eagerly anticipating what was going to come from this eye exam that she was desperate to get me because she wanted to know how bad my eyesight was. So who?
No, I didn't want to know how bad your eyesight was.
No, well, you
I
see
wanted
what my
you,
eyesight was.
I wanted you to be using the proper glasses,
right.
Not some store bought, already made +3 reader glasses because that is not your prescription.
It's all I could afford.
I knew when I watched you read stuff and use the computer that you needed something else. Those were not the right glasses for you. I work in the optometry
field. I understand that.
So, of course, I'm going to suggest to you, hey.
You just said, of course.
Of course.
Like
I'm gonna
a New Yorker.
Of course. Because I am a New Yorker.
I know. But let me just get to the point. So, anyway, this is important. I'm going to get to
the point is your behind is not blind.
Well, wait. First of all,
you made it all the way home
listen
from
to me.
Work.
Let me explain
without
something
somebody
to you.
Holding
time
you.
Out. Time out.
Go ahead.
Didn't you have surgery not too long ago?
I knew you were going to bring that up. I'll get into
Please
that.
Please don't tell me that you had LASIK surgery.
Yes, I did. But we'll get into that.
You should that doctor.
No, no, relax, relax, relax. Hold on. J.C. brings a very valid point. We'll get into that in a second. So when Mary brings me in, I automatically recognize the reason why fathers or mothers should never, ever operate on their children. And nor should you have your friends do your eyeglass test or your sight test. So Mary does my test. You know, tells me put my chin here. My eyes got to go into that. Keep your eye open. Don't blink. Don't move. Don't perspire.
Oh,
don't
whatever,
think about anything.
Whatever. I checked your intraocular pressure.
Oh,
with
we don't
a puff
don't.
Of air. I yeah. used the autorefractor to get an assessment of what your car prescription needs were, and we did
a pocket full of bottle caps with little magnifiers in them.
Did a stare. No, he didn't. No, technology is much more advanced. You don't need bottle caps, even if you're in like a minus 10. You don't need.
They don't understand 10. Any of that. Can I
okay.
just tell my
no,
part of
No,
wait
story? A minute. Let me finish my story. We gave him a depth perception or a stereopsis test and a color perception test.
Yes, and these.
And realized at that point in time,
well,
the glasses.
Don't tell that part.
Okay.
I need to tell that part. That's why I don't want you to go too far ahead. I know you were eager to tell the technical part of what it is.
You need a pair of glasses. That's
whatever.
The bottom line.
Listen, so hold on. This is important. Okay? All of this is important. So I do this whole thing. You know, don't move. Don't sweat. Don't break wind. Don't do nothing. You got to stand still like you're, you know, a mummy or in a wax museum. So I do all that. She's pumping air in my eyes. You know, I'm getting squirted with water. Somebody,
you're not getting squirted with water. It was air, you moron.
Somebody punched me in the face.
Nobody punched you in the face. Shut up.
The dude's poking me in the eye.
Don't be telling people that.
There were alien probes. But no, I'm kidding. Hold on.
Mickey
so
Mouse,
I,
Ian.
Yeah, so I get this whole thing, right? It's all done and over with. Now, back to my point about why relatives, friends, family, nobody should ever, ever do your eye exam or any exam for that matter. Here's Mary. She hands the picture or whatever it is.
The doctor, your chart.
Yes, the chart with my photo.
Your
now, here's the part. Here's the part where I look at
the... He hadn't even seen the photo yet.
Oh, that's right. He hadn't seen the photo yet. He's just looking at
the... Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. We took a picture of his retinas.
Yes, they took pictures of my retinas. So she hands the file over to the doctor, whom I'm going to see and have an eye exam. And he does this. I crap you not. He says this, wow. I go, what? Thank God I wasn't at the oncologist. Thank God I wasn't going in for my regular checkup. The guy goes, wow. Now, I already know my eyesight is bad. I don't need anybody to tell me. I don't need wind blown into my ear or anal probes to know that I have horrible vision. So when this doctor, a person who has probably gone to school for decades, looks at my chart within a second and goes, wow, I know I'm blind. I know it. And I look at them. And then I go, talk about your bedside manner.
I know I'm blind, but I look at them.
But,
I don't think so.
So I look at them, and they're going, then they try to cover their asses. And they go, it's not bad. It's just not good. I'm sitting here going, this is not something that you tell someone when they go to the eye doctor. You don't go, wow. You know, this is, I mean, come on. I'm already dreading the results of this test. I don't want to be told that I may need a German Shepherd and a pole to be walking around through the streets. I don't want to be told that. So when a guy goes, wow, it's almost giving me the impression that he's saying something like, how is this guy alive? The impression I'm getting. I mean, that's what anyone would get when you hear that. You know? And I thought he would turn around and look at me and go, like, wave his hand in front of my face and go, can you see me? You're pretty screwed up here, buddy. But anyway, then they try to, you know, They what did it say that my vision was?
You're like a plus 4.25 plus in the right eye with some access.
Layman's terms, a good vision is 20/20. What am I?
No, I don't know that because I didn't look at that.
Take a wild guess.
You're probably 20...
Huh?
80.
80? Wow, I always thought, did you get a higher number? That's good.
No, 2015 is better than 2020.
So 2080?
Yes.
What's blindness?
I don't know. Off the top of my head.
It's got to be better than that. So JC brought up a very valid point. JC, are you there? You remember in 2000, actually, I can give the exact date. JC, you there? Where are you? Okay, maybe you had to handle something. Okay, so on December 14th.
Well, why don't you put him in? Maybe he can speak.
Okay, maybe he can. Well, he can put himself into the microphone.
But he probably thought he was in.
JC, you there? No, he's not. See?
Hello, McFly.
No. Excuse me.
Bless you.
I apologize. Please forgive me.
Now you have a vision and a nasal problem.
Anyway, so JC may remember that on December 14th, 2004, I was at the New York offices of Dr. Della Russo on 91st Street and York Avenue in Manhattan to get LASIK surgery done. And now this surgery then, I think the cost of that surgery was somewhere around $6,000. About $3,000 an eye.
How old were you?
This would have been 2004. Yeah, December of 2004, so I would have turned just 35. Yeah.
And they did laser correction?
Laser correction surgery on both eyes, 90 seconds an eye, about $3,000 an eye. I had it done. And
did you go back for all your follow-ups?
Of course I did.
You went to your 1 day, your 3 day, your 1 week, your 1 month, your 6 months, your 1 year.
I was living in Hartford, Connecticut, so that would have made it a little difficult.
Why?
Because it was December 2004, and there's no LASIK eye surgery place in Hartford, Connecticut.
You could have went anywhere for that. You don't need to go to a LASIK. You could have done your follow-up anywhere.
I didn't know that.
At any optometrist's office.
I didn't know that. But I'll never forget the day that it gave out. In 2009, when I was locked up in Rikers Island, it was, in fact, 2009 this month, right around this time, in fact, June 9th, I woke up that morning in the dorm room that I was in, which was actually a bunker because we were outside.
You were living outside?
We were living in what's like a barracks kind of deal with a big giant white dome. And our dorm was inside.
That how overcrowded the jails are?
No, because the place that we were originally in was being fumigated and fixed up or something.
Why? Did they have bed bugs?
No. It was just being renovated.
You know, New York has a huge bed bug.
Yeah, there was
a huge
bed bug problem at Rikers Island at the time that I was there.
Oh, disgusting. I hate those little bastards.
Don't forget, we also had a couple of people who had the swine flu. We went through that as well when I was locked up at Rikers. But anyway.
Probably caught it from the big
Let me
bed
finish
bug.
The story. So one day I wake up. That morning, June 9th, 2009, 3 years ago, I wake up and literally my eyes are bloodshot, they're teary-eyed, they're blurry, I can't see. And that was when the surgery, pretty much I knew for a fact, it wasn't working anymore. I could barely see.
Well, did they, before you had the surgery, how many appointments did you have before you had the surgery?
About two. I had two consultations before I had it done.
And how many eye exams, what was the frequency of eye exams that you had in the past prior to that? Did you go on an annual basis?
No.
Okay, so this is exactly why whatever laser center did your surgery shouldn't have done it. Because you have to be a good candidate. And in order but they needed more information. You can't say that you're a good candidate if they don't know your history. If you have if you have a fluctuating...
Wait, let me finish. This is important. Did I mention this before you say something? In the interest of full disclosure, this was a sponsorship for the radio station that I was working for, so I had gotten the surgery so that I can talk about it on the air.
So you got the surgery for free?
Yeah, I didn't pay for it.
Oh, well, thank God you didn't pay for it, but... In order to deem someone a good candidate for LASIK vision correction or laser vision correction or PRK or whatever you want to call it. It was called RPK or PRK back in the day. You need to have a steady prescription. If you go in 2004 to an eye doctor and they do a vision exam on you and your prescription is a minus one in both eyes, and then you go back in 2005 and your prescription is like a minus two, and then you go back in 2006 and your prescription is like a minus 2.50, you're constantly changing. So how can they correct something that has a constant change? You must have an even, a semi-even keel to your a steady prescription, because if you don't have a steady prescription and your prescription increases significantly every single year.
Well, how come you guys don't say that in your commercials?
What's
what?
That?
How come they never say that in their commercials?
I don't know.
They make it so in and out.
No, they should disclose that. They don't have to say it in the commercials, but they should disclose that. You know, I mean, they don't. You don't have to be like, okay, listen, you know, they're not going to tell you we have to check your vision for, you know, you have to wait 5 years, right? But they want to know what was the frequency. They should ask you what was your frequency of visiting an eye doctor and having an eye exam.
We are not suggesting that they didn't do that. This was just a special situation. I and other people had this surgery done, you know.
But they did unnecessary surgery because your vision changed so frequently.
Okay,
it was unnecessary. Free or not, it doesn't matter.
But you understand that's a chance that you take when you're running this commercial.
Nonetheless.
No, but it's not a chance that you take.
Why are you arguing? Wait. Hold on.
Because I'm very passionate about it.
I guess that you're passionate about it. I'm not suggesting it happened already, and you almost appear seething that they did this as if it was some sort of malpractice.
Well, because it is.
Okay, that may be. Nonetheless, I'm blind, okay? So I'm trying to work things out. Can we take a break and then come back and talk about some of the news of the day? That's all I want to do is just, you know.
Go to a reputable place, people.
Yeah, please, go to a reputable place.
If you're in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, or you have a TLC laser center where you live, go there. They're great. They did laser vision correction on Tiger Woods. He's their spokesperson.
Before or after he was?
Oh, before. Before his wife beat his ass for cheating on him.
Well, this would explain why he's losing.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, Reese, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
lot of memorable phrases in it.
But our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. In the state of our union history.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back. 23 minutes after the hour on BlogTalkRadio.com. We got to hook up with the Real Talk Blancers. I'm sure that they're talking about...
Tonight?
No, not tonight. We got to hook up with them soon.
Like, I can't deal with them tonight. I mean, I'm just... You really have to be ready to deal with these people.
Yeah, Mary is in a particular mood. And rightly so.
I'm in rare form tonight.
Yes, she's in rare form. Very, very animated today. And I like her like that. That's the way we want her. Sometimes she's a little subdued. She's a little tired, long day. But today she's really out there. I love it when Mary's in that mood.
She's talking about glaucoma and cataracts and all that good stuff.
Yeah, but she's got other things right now, trust me. We're off the air.
She's got other things. Homegirl's got issues going on.
Yeah,
and people better start waking up and recognize. No.
Keep coming up to you.
You ain't cutting me off. You in Connecticut. Shut up. You ain't cutting me off. Hush your mouth.
Okay, listen. Anyway, let's get into this because we don't normally talk about a lot of hip-hop unless we're ridiculing.
I love hip hop.
I know you. I know. I rip it apart.
I love it.
I don't suggest it.
I came in the door, said it before.
Yes, okay, I got it.
I never let the mic magnetize.
Well, we don't normally rip
hip-hop music unless I'm, you know.
Speaking of hip-hop, where's our little homeboy from Jersey?
Money Mink?
Money Mink.
Yeah, we haven't heard
Money Mink? I thought it was Money Make all that time. I thought it was M-O-N-E-Y-M-A-K.
Money Mink, if you're out there, please give us a call.
Money Mink, Mom misses you, yo.
Yeah, exactly. he is the drop, I think. That's what it was.
Yes, I'm the drop.
I'm the drop. So some news got some national attention, of course, because it's a big event. And it always will be. And that is, in New York City, the premier hip-hop station out there, the highest rated, bar none, no argument there, Hot 97, they have their annual summer jam in New York. Well, pardon me, it's in New Jersey, in East Rutherford. It's generally at Giant Stadium, but since that stadium has been renewed and renamed, it's now at the MetLife Stadium. But it's a huge event. It's a stadium, for crying out loud.
Great dental insurance.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, I have MetLife as my dental insurance.
Okay,
great.
All right. Anyway. So, the internationally known Nicki Minaj was
internationally known.
She was the headliner of this year's Summer Jam performance. And apparently never took the stage.
Was she the headliner because Mary J. is too busy doing Burger King commercials?
I don't know. Maybe.
What the hell is going on? Can we get CeeLo Green? Can we get somebody? Nicki Minaj?
It's Summer Jam, and I'm sure...
Nicki Minaj?
Anyway, so Nicki Minaj, Young Money is their label, which of course features Lil Wayne, Drake, who's a huge star. I believe... Is Jeezy with them as well?
Yeah, Young Jeezy.
Young Jeezy is with them as well.
Yeah, he's with them now.
Right.
I'm trying to think who else they have with them.
But they've got a lot of big names. I know they've got that kid, something Hood, Ace Hood is with them.
Ace Hood, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They've got
everybody that's whack is with them.
Yeah.
Rack City.
Whack.
Right.
What's that kid named Rack City?
I don't know who he is. I do
know
that.
I know who that is.
I do know the DJ terrorist known as DJ Khaled is on the show.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm interested in knowing this young man's background, DJ Khaled. I'm trying to figure out how this guy, who is obviously from the Mideast, made it into the hip-hop world. I'm a little worried about that, but whatever. That's just me. So here's the deal.
Traded in bomb making for beat making. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, bomb making for beat. Right, bomb making for beat making. Exactly, DJ Khaled. Look them up if you're interested. So here's the deal. Now, the morning show consists of two guys. One that I know a little bit and another one that I don't know so well. I listened to a lot of his show that he did on Sunday when I was in jail. When I was locked up, he had a Sunday show that aired at midnight, which was purely underground hip-hop. And his name is Peter Rosenberg. He's from this area, the D.C. area. He's from the DMV, as they refer to it, you know, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. He's from this area, and he is a ardent hip-hop enthusiast. But
when I say
enthusiast... He's an enthusiast in its purest form. He does not like the commercialization of rap music. And he makes
it... He's a hip-hop savant.
Right, hip-hop savant, but in its real, real purest form. He probably is not a big fan of what you would consider your most mainstream rap artist. He likes a lot of the underground guys that you don't know. Anyway, so they're on stage... Peter Rosenberg and Cypher Sounds, the young man that I do know. Cypher Sounds was a DJ back in the day. He used to be a DJ for Funkmaster Flex. If you know these people, you can look them
up. Okay, get to the point.
I'm trying to give JC some time. He's got to put some audio up for us. So,
JC, you know I love you. I didn't mean to tell you to shut up, but, you know,
okay,
it just happened.
He knew. Anyway. So, Peter Rosenberg is on stage talking about Nicki Minaj. And
is he a white guy, Peter Rosenberg?
Yes, Peter Rosenberg.
Hold on. Let me interrupt you here.
Go for it.
Okay. Apparently, I'm not going to say that this kind of started yesterday, which kind of surprises me that they'd actually have Nicki Minaj as the headliner because she's really more pop now than anything.
Absolutely.
But I'm surprised she's the headliner for Hot 97.
Well,
keeping it over state because I have a Hot 937 next to me.
Jay-Z brought Michael Jackson to Summer Jam.
Right. It's a huge deal. It's a very huge deal.
Yes, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's one of Summer's biggest concerts in the tri-state area, considering the amount of people who live in that area. And it's held at a stadium, for crying out loud, a football stadium.
Right.
As many concerts
are.
At the football stadium, MetLife Stadium. So anyway, so Peter Rosenberg gets on stage. Let me get his quote.
Would you like me to read it?
He says, when he got on stage, he said something along these lines. He said, I know that there are some chicks here waiting to sing Starship later. I'm not talking to y'all right now. But F that bull-ish. I'm here to talk about real hip-hop. Now, clearly saying that he hates this song, Starship, which I have never ever
heard. Well, he's not clearly saying that he hates this song. What he's saying is, this is a hip-hop concert.
Mary?
And I'm here to talk. No,
Mary,
stop it.
I gotta tell you, check yourself before you rickety wreck yourself.
No, you gotta check yourself before you rickety wreck yourself.
JC, is Peter Rosenberg dissing that song, Starship? And what's the evidence?
Yes, he has. As a matter of fact, Mary, I have some audio. This happens to be the day after the Grammys, when Nicki Minaj did the exorcism on stage with the priest and all.
Yes, when the girl lost her damn mind.
Yes, this is
talking
about Nicki Minaj.
Right, and this is to release the song Starship on that Tuesday.
Okay, so
and this is the audio of Peter Rosenberg from the morning show talking about it.
And Rosenberg, you know this guy's very opinionated and always has something to say. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the realness.
Sometimes I gotta keep it real. Can I, though, for a second? Can I just keep it 100?
Do it!
I'll keep it real. This guy started the intro too early.
All right, very real. Let me keep it real quick about my girl. I've talked about her before. I got to bring her up again. My girl, Nicki Minaj, man. Nicki loves reminding us every chance she gets that she's a, quote, underground rapper from Queens. And for us hardcore hip-hop fans, I think it warms our collective heart when we hear something like that, you know? Because don't get it twisted. She is real hip-hop. She's from Queens, the birthplace of Run-DMC and Nas. So sure, yeah, she rolls with Young Money now. And yeah, she's appeared on Ellen as many times as she's appeared on Hot 97. But still, man, she's hip-hop. Then the Grammys came and Nicki hit that stage. And sure, she didn't do a hardcore hip-hop song, but she did do a weird exorcism thing. And she did wear a priest on the red carpet, kind of like Flavor Flav wears a clock. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of hip-hop. But then the next day after the Grammys, she decided to drop a new heat rock. And you knew this would be hip-hop because, you know, she's in Queens. She's hanging out with all her boys from Queens. And they're like, yo, Nicki, yo, word up, son. Done. When you going to drop some straight hip-hop? And she was like, yo, I got you, Duns. Check out this hip-hop. I'm on the floor. I love the dance. I'm getting Yo, what the F kind of done language is that?
I don't know what that is.
Is that Nicki Minaj or Katy Perry? Tell me. If that's hardcore hip hop, then would this song be considered another hardcore hip hop song? That's not fair. That's not fair. Maybe she's just, you know, thinking about other hip hop. Maybe she was inspired by other hip hop bangers out like this one.
We're dancing like we're done.
Woo! Okay, you gotta stop it.
Listen, no, I mean no disrespect to Nicki Minaj.
Except full disrespect.
But it was nice having you in hip-hop. I'm not saying Nicki's not a rapper or that she can't rap, because the opposite is true. By nature, she is an incredibly talented rapper. But I am a hip-hop head, and to be frank, this song right here, Starship, is literally one of the most sellout songs in hip-hop history.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Listen to it!
Like it's dynamite.
All right. I don't want them to dominate the show. But, okay, Mayor, he's clearly dissing the song Starship, and he made it known months ago. Okay? So when he came out there and he rips on this song Starship and says, if Nicki Minaj is coming to the premiere, hold on. If Nicki Minaj is coming to the premiere hip-hop event in New York for the premiere hip-hop station in New York City and the surrounding areas, if she comes up on stage and sings Starship, I'm not trying to hear that. It's pretty much what Peter Rosenberg is saying. Am I fair in saying that, JC?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. So because of this diss, Lil Wayne of Young Money, who is the president and CEO of Young Money and her boss, pulled everybody off the show. You're with nobody's performance. Nicki Minaj, the headliner, is pulled out. That's it.
Wah, wah, wah.
But wait, it gets funnier. It gets funnier. So people have paid all their money to go to this concert. I'm sure it was the ticket price was anywhere in the upwards to $80 to $125. JC, please tell me, who did people see that night?
Well, outside of Rick Ross, it was probably worth half the price of admission alone.
Rick Ross.
Big surprises.
Well,
yeah,
wait,
Rick Ross
it was
hot.
Who? Rick Ross and who else?
No, he said Rick Ross, which was probably one of their biggest acts.
Right. It was July.
If Rick Ross was the biggest act after Nicki Minaj, they didn't have a show to begin.
Thank you. Go on. Who else to perform?
Their biggest surprises were.
Yeah, this is great.
Lauryn Hill and Nas.
And Nas.
I would have paid to see Nas. Lauryn Hill.
Would you have paid $125?
No.
Okay. And Lauryn Hill?
I would have just rode the subway in New York.
Now, is there any word that Lauryn Hill and Nas performed If I Rule the World, their big hit back in the 90s?
I have no idea. I want to know what it is. I wanted to get details from the show, and it's kind of hard to get them because what's gone
with
the news
looked
is
up. There was literally
Nicki Minaj.
Everything they were talking about was just the Nicki Minaj story.
Right.
Now, I know this isn't important to everyone, and if you're not in hip-hop, you know. But here's where my issue is, and this is the question I want to ask.
A lot of people that ain't in hip-hop, and Hot 97 is one of them, because if you booking a show like that, what is Lauryn Hill hip-hop? I mean, she was kind of like...
Well, come on. Now,
hip-hop artist. Lauryn Hill was no hip-hop
artist. I have a question to ask, but you know what? Now that you've brought that up, let's not ever, ever suggest that Lauryn Hill's album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, which came out in 1998, was not a hip-hop album.
Listen,
and if not that.
Listen, but she's washed up.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that say she's
so
not hip.
Okay, so what even? No, not anymore. She's
probably not relevant
today.
No.
Nobody.
Understand, Mary, understand. Lauryn Hill, this upcoming album, The Return of Lauryn Hill, is probably one of the most anticipated albums of all times.
Really?
By who?
Yes.
45-year-olds?
No, just fans of Lauryn Hill, period. You gotta understand, Lauryn Hill was, lyrically.
Hold on, JC. Gotta stop you.
No,
Mary makes a very valid point, man.
Come on.
Very valid point.
Come on.
When
no.
Lauryn
yeah, it's
Hill,
been some time.
But
it's
Lauryn
been some
Hill.
Time, and you know what?
Ain't nobody picking Lauryn Hill over. Ain't
she does
nobody
what
picking
me,
Lauryn
I think,
Hill.
I, listen.
Over Cash Money Records.
I consider
and all
what
that,
she does
she
like neo rap. Neo rap soul.
What, JC?
I deem what she does is neo rap.
Yeah, it
like
is
the
neo-rap.
Rap of neo soul.
I agree
that
with
genre
you.
Of
totally,
music.
I
that's
agree
why,
with you. There.
That's why, to me, that's not hip hop. Hip hop is spitting rhymes. That's what hip hop is about.
Again,
spitting rhymes on the fly.
Mary,
that's what true hip hop is. Lauryn Hill cannot stand up to Run DMC.
Wait. But that's a very valid point that you're making, Mary. This is why I'm trying to bring it up. You make such a brilliant point. Lauryn Hill's audience, when Lauryn Hill was relevant, were in their teens and mid-20s when she was with the Fugees, and, of course, when she went solo in A Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, which came out in 1998 when I was 27.
And now those people
are middle-aged, or
pushing Medicare.
So my question is it pushing Medicare? Anyway, Mayor Social Security.
It's a
so here's my
month.
Question. Do you think that the fans, and Mary asked me this question earlier on the phone, do you think the fans should be reimbursed?
Look, if I spend $125 on a damn ticket.
And that's only the assumption.
If I spent $40 on a damn ticket and you put Rick Ross's fat ass up on stage. Lauryn Hill.
And Nas.
Okay, $40, I would have been all right with Nas. But Nas would have had to been out on stage half naked.
Okay, all right.
Nobody wants to see Lauryn Hill. She's washed up. I'm sorry, I liked her when she was out. I'm not saying anything bad about her. No disrespect.
5 Grammys mean nothing?
But she's washed. No, they do. They were relevant when she was relevant. But this is 2012. You sold 2000
in late.
But
that's not fair because... You know, look at Patti LaBelle. Patti LaBelle has
Patti LaBelle.
Why is Patti LaBelle more relevant than Lauryn
Because
Hill?
It's a different genre of music. And older people our age, have a true appreciation for real music.
But wait a minute, hold on.
Patti LaBelle has been around since your grandmama.
I'm so glad you said that, Mary. You used the word real. Now, do you want to recant that statement?
No.
Okay, you said they have an appreciation for real music. So you're
For what we believe is real music. What we believe is real music and what the youth today believes is real music, totally two different things.
Well, hold
things.
On now. Then that makes the argument that says that Lauryn Hill's music is disposable, but Patti LaBelle's music can be considered classic.
Patti LaBelle's voice and talent
we're not making an argument
disposable.
About that. We're not making
and
an
Lauryn
argument.
Hill's is.
Why is Lauryn Hill's voice? She sings too. Why is her music?
Never heard
voice?
Her do any kind of ballad.
Oh my God!
What?
When it hurts? Her
D'Angelo.
Her D'Angelo. When it hurt? No, when it hurts so bad, everything is everything.
Yeah.
What's the song she did with D'Angelo that's on that album?
Anything D'Angelo did is good because D'Angelo.
Well, I'm just saying, there's a song on that on the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill she does with the D'Angelo is brilliant. The song she wrote about her son, Zion, was a huge song. Everything is Everything. Huge song.
Okay. And
she sings through
okay,
that. Lauryn Hill sings and raps on that album.
The past.
But hold on. Wait.
And she's not singing like Patti LaBelle. She's singing. She ain't blowing.
Don't discount Lauryn Hill as
a
singer.
Don't believe the hype. Yeah, boy.
Don't. Well, are you saying, okay, fine, you brought them up. Would you say that Public Enemy is no longer relevant?
Hey, I can win that. You want to talk about people making a comeback? We're talking about Lauryn Hill. What about Brandy? Brandy's making a comeback, and you know what her album is called?
What?
211.
Stop lying.
I swear to you, the day she was born, her birthday must be February 11th, and it was the day that Whitney Houston died.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was February 11th, the day that you moved to the DMV.
The first time I moved out, came out to DMV. It was February 11th.
It's a robbery in progress.
Yeah, I don't think it was an appropriate name.
I think
okay,
that
so you're saying that Brandy
crash.
Is no longer relevant?
Not unless she's singing The Boy Is Mine.
With Monica?
Yes. Her best one of her.
Yes. Ow. What is wrong with this chicken and music?
I don't even know.
Hey, listen. Listen, I'm looking at the lineup right now for the Summer Jam.
Okay, go for it.
I had, starting from the top, J. Cole, Rick Ross, French Montana, Meek Mills, Wale, Mano. I guess Tyga did perform. He's with Cash Money. Trey Songz, Waka Flocka, Young Jeezy, 2 Chainz, Big Sean, Lauryn Hill. And I thought I heard something about Mace.
What would Mace be doing there?
Like Mace, the one that...
Yes, Mace and Betha.
Like, yeah. Like P. Diddy Mace?
Yes, Mace and Betha.
The preacher?
Yes, Mace and Betha.
The preacher who wouldn't leave his car, who got towed inside of his car.
Yes,
he
Mason,
was scared of the young
media. Did he get
the,
towed
media?
While he was sitting in his car? He got his car towed while he was sitting in it?
Yes.
I love
it. They towed his car while he was sitting in it. While his car, they stopped him. I don't really, well.
Let, you know what? Let's get
to
hell it
with
another
it.
Time.
The reason got, why.
Go ahead.
According to reports that he was stopped, he was out trying to pick up prostitutes.
Mason Betha?
Yeah.
Praise Jesus, amen, I need
No, but wait. I'm going to look it up because I want to be accurate about it. But if I'm not mistaken.
With some blessed ass, please.
They were men.
Praise
Jesus. Oh, please, if you were
to... Oh, I really meant that then. Literally, bless me with some ass, Lord.
All right, we're moving on.
Have you been bleached, darling?
Oh, that's just nasty. We're taking a break. We've got to take a break. When we come back...
Anally.
We have to talk about the cannibal. It's important that we talk about him. He was arrested today. How he got arrested, I find... astonishing.
He got arrested eating somebody's face.
No. This is a different cannibal who was on the run. He got arrested
what?
In Berlin. But wait till you find out how he got busted and where. We'll get back.
What?
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb f***s,
it's not because they have breasts. It's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. Levi, over and over until a baby fell out.
The Maverick and the Milk.
They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cut. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City.
Number two, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, update her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the seventh inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb quads,
Maher decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million. I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Thank you.
Sadly, we lost a legend, folks.
Over the weekend. I don't know whether or not you heard it, but it was small news. It was important enough to me.
We lost our good friend Richard Dawson, the original host of the family.
What was he, like 102?
Did
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old he was.
Well, let's celebrate his life.
We always celebrate the lives of those who have changed ours.
Family Feud changed your
of
life?
Of course it did. Survey says. The man kissed 25,000 women on his show.
At least.
Come on, man. The Family Feud.
Some ugly. Some beautiful.
It didn't
some
matter
in
to
between.
Richard Dawson.
Some fat,
he was
some
listen.
Skinny.
He was
some chunky.
He was cool.
Some black.
He was
some
entertaining.
White, some
he
Asian.
Was funny. He introduced.
Some Latina.
Hold on. He introduced the American culture to surveys and stuff like that. He asked weird, silly questions. You played along at home. You know, he had a
he
board
bought
game.
The board game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it
and
was
then
a
he played it on
great...
the computer.
JC, tell me, am I going crazy here? Did you not watch Richard Dawson?
I watched him too.
So why?
No, my mama watched him, but I was forced to watch. We didn't have cable back then. We didn't get
why
cable in the
be
projects
forced?
Until
how
the mid-'80s.
How are you forced to watch The Family Feud? I bet you watch it now with Steve Harvey.
Not even.
No, oh, okay, I'm just kidding.
No.
But Richard Dawson was an American icon. Is an American
well,
icon.
Well, of course he
I'm
is.
I'm not going to put him up there with the likes of Dick Clark, but God, if the guy's not relevant, I don't know who he is.
Well, but I mean, he's the Dick Clark of...
Game shows?
Game shows.
No, Merv Griffin.
Well,
no, that's Merv Griffin.
Yeah, Merv Griffin is the Dick Clark of game shows. Game shows. But he was obviously a recognizable... I'll put it to you like this. Richard Dawson is as relevant to game shows as Alex Trebek is to Jeopardy.
Or Pat Sajak is to...
Pat Sajak, yes, exactly, to Wheel of Fortune. Like, these are people that we grew up with. I mean, come on. Chuck Woolery?
Is that a white still walking?
We'll
yes, she
two
is.
And two.
Right. Chuck Woolery, you know, these names. Think of, okay, out of the names that I just gave you, give me some other game show hosts that could possibly be measured to those names.
Gene Rayburn.
From where?
The Match Game.
Well, oh, Gene Rayburn. Okay, I never knew his name. But okay, Gene Rayburn.
Pyramid?
Dick Clark did the pyramid.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
There was another guy that did the pyramid.
No, I couldn't. JC, who else? I can't think of it. Somebody else did the pyramid?
Who did the...
Donny Osmond did the pyramid later.
Who did the Newlywed game show?
That was... Oh, I can't remember his name, but that's another name that will probably, and I don't know why, but Art Linkletter keeps coming to mind, but that's another big name, but he died already.
Who did the Gong Show?
Oh, that's, that Monty Hall is, let's make a deal. The Gong Show, Chuck Barris, I got his name right. Chuck Barris did the Gong Show. Already dead. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I think he's still alive. Let's double check that. You have to double check if Chuck Barris is still alive.
Womp, womp, womp.
Okay, so who else is there?
Those are the only shows I watch. I
okay,
know.
So that's what I'm saying. So there are no, can you remember the guy who did the,
this is a horrific commercial.
Yeah, can you think of the guy who did, Double Dare?
I don't remember that show.
You don't remember Double Dare?
No.
Okay, whatever. How about, what was that show? Joker.
Don't remember it.
Don't remember it, right? You don't remember that game show? Card Sharks. Remember that show?
No.
Short-lived. I can't remember. To Tell the Truth.
The $1,000 pyramid thing was, or $10,000 pyramid thing was not, what's it? Was
Dick,
not Dick Clark.
It
was not.
It was Dick Clark.
Where they would sit and
across
say
across from each other, things you find in a bedroom.
A bed.
Right, exactly. A bed. Well, you couldn't say bed.
But that was not Dick Clark.
Yes, it was Dick Clark.
Yeah, it was Dick Clark.
It was Dick Clark.
Who did it after Dick Clark did it because it was somebody else.
I told you Donny Osmond did it later.
No, it was somebody
else. And then Regis
else.
Did it.
Who?
Regis did the $10,000
yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't remember him being on there either.
Yeah, but he did it.
Yeah, but the $10,000 pyramid, that was Dick Clark. It's Dick Clark's, like, well, not his claim to fame, but, I mean, he literally ran that show. I love that show. But how do you not recognize Monty Hall?
Yeah.
How do you not recognize, I'm talking about Monty Hall. How do you not recognize
I'm not saying
Richard
I
Dawson.
Don't recognize him.
How do you not recognize Richard Dawson? You're going to tell me you didn't watch Family Feud?
I did. I never said I didn't recognize him. I know
did
exactly
you
who he
did you enjoy the
is.
Show?
I did enjoy the show, but there were other shows that I enjoyed more.
What show did you enjoy?
The Newlywed Game. The $10,000 Pyramid Game.
What else?
Hollywood Squares.
Okay, I like Hollywood.
Chuck Woolery and Love Matching or whatever.
Love Connection.
Whatever. Two and two.
Love Matching.
Whatever. Oh, and then there was the other Love Matching show, where they would sit like three people, three women, and they'd have one guy come in.
That's the dating game.
The good dating game, yes. I like that show, too. Girl show.
Okay, so you like...
The Price is Right.
Okay, Bob Barker.
Spinning the wheel. He's coming up the stairs.
Right, yes. Come on down to me?
No, I thought somebody was walking up the stairs.
Oh. You are in rare form today. That's why I'm just messing with you, just to see what it is that you'll say next.
Come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
Can you remember any of the names of the guys who did the voiceovers?
No. I know what he was.
Johnny Olsen?
The announcer guy.
Yes, Johnny Olsen. Look at that. Johnny Olsen was the voice of... Johnny Olsen was the voice of The Price is Right.
Who's the announcer guy?
Bob Barker.
No, the other guy. The guy that would sit up in the...
That's him, Johnny Olsen. The guy who would say, who
he
would call out your
glasses.
Name. Yes, he's the guy who would call out your name and tell you to come on down. That's him. Anyway, we'll take a break. Mary's not in the mood today to talk about some of my favorites.
About talk shows?
They're game shows.
Ron Eli.
What's his name?
Ron Eli, The Match Game. No. Name That Tune.
Name That Tune.
Oh, I like that show.
You like Name That Tune?
Yeah.
That's before your time. No, it's not.
His name was Ron Eli. I remember him because he played Tarzan at one point.
The lyrics, you moron. That guy, the black guy, is now doing one of my other favorite shows of this era.
What?
Which is Let's Make a Deal.
Oh, so you're talking about Wayne Brady.
Yes, Wayne Brady.
Yes.
In no way, shape, or form, I don't want anybody to think that I think the man is attractive because he's not. I just like the damn show.
He's a cornball.
He is a cornball, but he's a good fit for that show. That when he was doing the other show, Don't Forget the Lyrics, or What's the Next Lyric, or Please Get Off, Get
What's
Off. The
whole line is that?
And these contestants are even worse than I am.
Take a break.
Hey, a lot, Young and Restless host. Used to host Young and Restless PM. We used to come on 7 o'clock at night.
What?
The guy who used to host Young and Restless. I mean, not Young and Restless, but Price is Right in the evenings.
There was a Price is Right at night.
Yeah, it sure was. It's going nightly.
Huh, I don't remember
there
that.
There wasn't no damn Price
anyway,
Right on at night.
I don't remember that.
His
either.
Name was Doug Davidson.
Yeah, nobody cares. Nobody's going to...
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward.
Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple hundred thousand dollars it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
All right, ladies, buckle up! It's showtime!
I got something to say to you, boy. Just exactly what you're trying to pull here.
I'm not trying to pull anything.
Well, let me tell you something. You ain't fooling me for a minute. You think I don't see what you are? You're one of those smooth-talking, smart-ass niggas just out for all you can get with your black power and all that other troublemaking nonsense. And as long as you are anywhere around this house, I'm right here watching. You read me, boy? You bring any trouble in here and you just like to find out what black power really means.
And we're back at Teresa on the Radio, top of the hour, 1 minute after the hour on this June the 4th, 2012. You have to forgive me, like I said. I am all out of sorts. I've got no glasses. I can't see very well. We talked about that at the top of the hour if you're just joining us. A story that I saw today when I was at work. Scared the mother, father, sister, brother out of me. And for me, I kind of think that this shows that the President of the United States is desperate. President Barack Obama is doing something I couldn't imagine anybody who would be sitting in the office of President of the United States would reduce themselves to. To see a sitting president. Forget about the fact that he showed up on The View. Okay? Forget about the fact that he's doing the comedy circuits. Means nothing. You know, and when I say the comedy circuits, you know, the Jay Lenos, the Conan O'Briens, the, you know, Jimmy Fallons, all that other stuff. Forget about all of that. This is, for me personally, this has got to take the cake. It was reported today that the Obama campaign has designed a fundraiser where the President of the United States will be singing on Broadway.
Stop it. Stop it.
That's right. That's right, Mary. Mary, Mary, why is he bugging? President Barack Hussein Obama will get on the stage on Broadway in New York and will be singing in a musical.
Red God Almighty gonna pick a bale of cotton.
Red God Almighty gonna pick a bale of hay. Red God Almighty gonna pick a bale of cotton. Red God Almighty gonna pick a bale of hay. Oh Lord, pick a bale of cotton. Oh Lord, pick a bale of hay. Oh Lord, pick a bale of cotton. Oh Lord.
I love that song. That's what he, I mean, is that what he's going to be singing? Is he going to be singing Porgy and Bess up on Broadway? You got to play that again. Start that over and play it again. I love that. That's what I want to see. I will go. I'll pay two Summer Jam tickets to see that.
Summer Jam.
God raise your bath water.
You got to play Pick a Bale of Cotton again. That's my song. I love that song. Why would the...
God Almighty gonna pick a bale of cotton.
Great God Almighty gonna pick a bale of cotton. Great God Almighty gonna pick a bale of cotton. Great God Almighty gonna pick a bale of cotton. Oh, Lord, pick a bale of cotton.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, pick a bale of cotton. Oh, Lord, pick a bale of cotton. Oh, Lord, pick a bale of cotton.
Got to jump down, turn around and pick a bale of cotton. Got to jump down, turn around and pick a bale of cotton. Got to jump down, turn around and pick a bale of cotton. Got to jump down, turn around and pick a bale of cotton. Oh, Lord.
Pick a bale of cotton. Oh, Lord. Pick a bale of hay. I mean, come on.
He's doing a paid audition for his next job. Because it ain't going to be the damn president.
Oh, Lordy. Stopping for your voting. Oh, Lordy.
What?
Stopping for your voting.
This is the worst kind of shucking and jiving I've ever seen in my entire life. What in God's name is this campaign thinking? I mean, how desperate? Could you get out there and talk about the economy, my man?
No.
Please. Get out there and talk about what you're going to do for this country. But please, on Broadway, I mean, is the audience, I mean, how big is the Broadway audience, the theater audience? What is with this hobnob?
How much time is it going to take him to
audition?
How much time is it going to take him to practice, get everything down, and then hold how many shows? Listen,
well,
Obama.
Wait
a minute. Listen, Obama. We got a crisis going on here.
Yeah, exactly.
The country is falling apart
right.
At the seams.
At the seams. You're absolutely right.
The draws on this country are not big enough anymore.
Exactly. Oh,
and they
Lord.
Don't sell anyone that are any bigger.
Oh, Lordy.
Get your ass in tune and get the country back on track.
Pick
if
a
not,
bale of cotton.
Forfeit your damn position and give it to somebody that can, like Donald Trump.
Great God Almighty gonna pick a bale of cotton.
Great God Almighty gonna pick a bale of cotton. Great God Almighty gonna pick a bale of cotton. Great God Almighty gonna pick a bale of cotton. Oh Lord, pick a bale of cotton. Oh
Lord, pick a bale of cotton.
I love it.
You're evil.
Financial distress it is in. Why don't you get on Broadway and sing about that? Dance to that tune.
How about Madea Goes to the White House?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Yes, Madea goes to Congress.
I want to speak to Obama.
What is this Broadway show going to be about? How much of a better president
no, he's
is
just going to be
than
singing.
Every other president in this history of this country?
He's going to be singing.
Singing about what?
I don't know yet.
About how he has screwed the country up?
The number's 347-308-8701. Our good friend Mike in Florida is on the line. Mike, how are you today?
Oh, man. You know, if he really wanted to pander and, as you say, shuck and jive,
He should have gone to that Hot 97 pop show. You know, if Obama got on stage and, you know, some FUBU with a grill, you know, started rapping stuff, there was some Rock-A-Ware. He could have connected with the young black audience, but who's he going to get on Broadway? You know, Upper West Side people and gays and fat Midwestern tourists.
You know what? It's so funny that you're so funny about this, Mike, because you said FUBU. Let me tell you how FUBU would be so appropriate, because FUBU is called For Us, By Us, and that would have been perfect at the Hot 97 thing, because that would have totally resonated with that crap if he'd have walked out there in some FUBU gear.
More white people in that crowd than there was anybody else.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
there was.
He could have had a white styrofoam cup full of purple drink, you know, and really got that hot money crowd, that young money crowd.
What? Okay. Yeah. What?
You see Obama with a pimp cup? That would be hilarious.
And was selling pom pom shorts. Holla.
Oh, okay. Now you're gone.
His shirt off and his boxers showing.
347-308.
Pants on the ground.
Apparently, anybody could have performed in Hot 97. They would have let him on stage.
Tell you what, he like a girl with extensions in her hair, bamboo earrings, at least two pair. Could you see her out there in trunks, rocking her neck?
Please.
With her, with those what, big shrimp earrings, like salt and pepper?
Yeah.
Wow.
Some hollow ones.
You're going back there, Mike. The number 347.
Oh, that would have been great to see Michelle and him out there do a salt and pepper. Wait,
let's go to the phone. 347-308-8701. I think we've got Edward on the line. Edward.
Hey, Reese. How you doing?
How are you, man? And
congratulations on the 100th show.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Hey, question. Now you're a Hot 97 listener, at least you used to be, right?
Actually, I only listened to it because you guys were the morning show. Other than that, I didn't listen to that.
You didn't bother it.
Good job.
Edward, have you heard anything about this whole controversy with Barack Obama performing on Broadway?
Yeah, that's actually what inspired me to call.
Yes.
Because I think that this is a real good example of the lack of integrity in the African-American community in this country.
Wow.
Because a lot of times you have young black actors, young black actresses who will engage in roles which may need a little singing and dancing or, you know, buffoonery.
Sure.
And black people in this country will go crazy when it happens. But now you have the president of this country, the leader of the supposed free world, tuning up and down on Broadway, and nobody says anything.
Yeah, you know, and this is so funny because the acting, the
No. Hold on.
Edward brings up a valid point, because look at the outrage that people had about Mary J. Blige singing about chicken in a Burger King commercial.
Exactly.
I think that's exactly where Edward's coming from. That is so clear that the president of the United States.
I think that's a liberal deal. Because they didn't say anything. They hooped and hollered about Clinton on the
Arsenio Hall
show.
That's not true. Here's the thing about the Arsenio Hall show and Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was running for office and went on Arsenio Hall and talked about what his plans were. And of course, Arsenio cut a couple of jabs to him because, of course, you know, Arsenio was a Clinton supporter. He gets on stage and he plays a couple of, you know, he plays a couple of tunes, or he plays a tune with the band. Now, is Bill Clinton trying to reach an audience in doing that? Yes. Has anyone done that beforehand? Show up on a variety/comedy show? Yes. Nixon did it on Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, and he was ridiculed for it as a Republican for being on there. And the only thing that man said on the damn thing was, "Suck it to me."
And if you want to give Barack a pass because Clinton got on and played the trumpet or whatever, saxophone, whatever it is that he plays, while he's not getting his
duck
picked in the White House. If you want to compare that, well, Barack Obama's already done a talk show. He's already done his thing on a talk show,
yeah,
on a late night show.
This is my problem with this is that what Barack Obama is doing in this case is a campaign effort in doing these sort of entertainment shows. Showing up on Jimmy Fallon the first day, you know, Jimmy Fallon the first day of his campaign at North Carolina University, and to do that whole stump with Slow Jam in the news. You know, the fact that he would now do this as, I think he's got, he's doing a dinner at Sarah Jessica Parker's house with Matthew Broderick, and she's on MTV last night talking about how she's having dinner with the president. Why is he showing up with these celebrities? Oh, don't forget, he also showed up at George Clooney's house, you know, after he made the big announcement about gay marriage and threw in $14 million. So this whole thing is turning into this Hollywood sideshow. There were people criticizing John McCain in 2008 when John McCain released that ad called Celebrity President. It was called the Celebrity Ad, when they said Barack Obama was a celebrity, and liberals and the news media laughed it off. Oh, he's not a celebrity. They're just saying that because he's popular. And what does he do? His biggest fundraising events are at celebrities' homes. And then he ends up on Broadway, and no one... If George W. Bush was on Broadway today, folks, or let's say when he was running against John Kerry in 2004, are you telling me that George W. Bush wouldn't have been railed against?
He got railed regardless.
Exactly. So there wasn't anything that George W. Bush could do that wasn't deemed, that wasn't vilified throughout the media. But this guy, Barack Obama, what sitting president do you know is holding a fundraiser where he'll get on stage and sing for his dinner?
Well, yeah, I mean, do you see who's doing the ad other than Sarah Jessica Parker for him?
Anna Wintour.
For I mean, you say Mitt Romney is elitist and out of touch.
Exactly.
They wrote a book about her where they called her the devil.
My favorite thing that Greg Gutfeld, I'm not sure if you guys follow this show, it's called The Five, that shows up on the Fox News channel. It's on 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but there's a guy on the show named Greg Gutfeld, who I adore this guy. He's so funny and so quick-witted, and he had one of the greatest lines about Anna Wintour. He said Anna Wintour is the only person in the world whose fur coat has a fur coat. You know what I mean? It's like she is one of the most and here is again, and you're so right, Mike. Here's an ardent campaign by the left and the people who oppose Mitt Romney to talk about this guy building a car elevator in his house, but going to Matthew Broderick and Sarah Jessica Parker's home and George Clooney's home for fundraiser parties and parties with Anne Winter in her home. This isn't considered elitist.
No,
I mean, Anna Wintour.
The reason it's not considered elitist is because how could this black man be an elitist no matter who he hangs with? He's only hanging with them white folks, them elite white folks, to get where he's got
well,
to
because
go.
Because he's cool. They write it off as being cool. Look how cool he is that he can hang out with these Hollywood types.
Well, he can't really be to the core like these ruthless Hollywood types that will step on you to get their next dollar.
Right.
Because he's
right.
Not white.
Everybody hold on.
And only white people think like that.
Everybody hold on the phone. We got another caller. The number is 347-308-8701. Caller from the 781 area code. Who do we have on the phone?
Sal and Revere. How's it going, guys?
Hey, Sal! How are you?
What's going on?
What's going
on? This is a humorous topic, but realistically, it's a really simple issue, and this is the depressing part of it.
Sure.
We're a divided society. I don't think it matters what he says or what he does. People have already made up their minds what side they're on, whether they're on the Republican side or the Democrat side. It doesn't matter what show he goes on, what he says about the economy or the jobs that he's creating.
Right.
it's already been decided. I don't think any of this matters, unfortunately. I don't think people are listening to the facts anymore. It's just a society we become.
When you say that, Sal, when you say that it's a society that we become, I mean, what do you mean? In other words, excuse me, is that there are people who are on this side, there are people on that side, so it doesn't matter if the other side does stuff like this and people complain? Do you think that just doesn't matter? I think what's always played a part in this, and I'll let you answer, but let me tell you why. What the premise of my question is what I've always said about the office of the White House is that after Bill Clinton and the Monica Lewinsky fiasco, I believe that the office of the presidency of the president has been diminished by poor behavior. And I think he set a tone that we will never – that will continue to see decline because of that behavior. And I think that now Barack Obama is behaving in that way where he can just literally – pull these kind of antics, and people – it frightens me that people don't look at it and go, no president should be doing this.
I absolutely agree with you. But if you look at that whole – the way things played out, Lewinsky ends up becoming the pseudo-celebrity, and that's the nature of things today. It really has nothing to do with, you know, whether or not you're shedding some kind of ill light on an office any longer. Nobody pays attention to this kind of thing. And you look around, you see Jersey Shore is one of the highest rated shows. Right. People are not paying attention to details. And at the end of the day, they're going to choose sides based on personal interest or, you know, kind of the spin. I honestly don't think there's enough people listening to the facts. And so I think it all ties in. It's amusing to some level, but it's depressing as well.
I agree with you. I try to make it as amusing as possible. I'm angered by it, which is why I lash out with humor. I'm angered by it.
I totally agree with you on that one.
Sal, thanks for calling in, man. I always appreciate your 2 cents. Thanks, man. You too. I think that that's – I mean, I understand where Sal's coming from because, you know, there are some people who are just extremely frustrated by this behavior.
Well, and it is frustrating, but I don't think that it has anything to do with people not paying attention to the details because they're not paying attention. Wait a minute. Let me finish.
Okay, I'm sorry.
They're lazy. It's so much easier to sit and watch mindless TV like – Jersey Shore or Jerseylicious or Housewives of Orange County. I mean, and I'm a fan. I like these shows because it's hilarious. But that's my break away from the rest. That's my break. I take a small break every now and then and we'll watch a few funny, just mindless, stupid shows. But since I've obviously been on Reese on the radio, I mean, I have...
You've been more involved in the issues?
I've been much more involved in the issues, and it doesn't take as much effort and as much energy as people may think that it does. If you make it a topic of the conversation, if you start engaging people in the conversations, they will engage back with you.
I don't agree with that. Guys, anybody – let's ask Edward. Edward, do you agree with that at all?
Actually, I was want to say something to
Sal's point.
What Sal said, and actually what you said about Bill Clinton sort of degrading the level of what we expect the presidency to do.
Well, at least the office of the president.
Right, his behavior as president, you know, he really degraded it. But I also think Barack Obama, I don't know if you agree, has degraded it even further because he has publicly come out and lied to the public with information as easily looked up by any high school kid. For example, the main one I wanted to say was when he said the Supreme Court, when they, with his health care.
Right, when he suggested that no Supreme Court has ever overruled over a vote passed by Congress.
Exactly. This is a bold-faced lie that any high school kid knows.
It's a civics lesson, for crying out loud. And a guy who's supposed to have taught constitutional law at Harvard and who was the president of the Harvard Law Review. for him to say that a blatant lie. You're absolutely right. The lie to the American people, I guess it goes on the same level as Bill Clinton, who, of course, lied to the American people by saying, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky. But the point is...
Well, he didn't. His penis did.
He did not.
And his cigar.
What?
He said and his cigar.
Cigar.
Yes, aptly put. Correctly put. But, again... And here's where I disagree with you in some cases, Mayor, and I go more towards Sal's point. I think Sal sees an overall truth to power on this in this sense. I believe that conservatives in this country who want to see Barack Obama removed from office, those people are interested and care about the issues. Does this demean the other side? Probably so, but let me explain to you why. The intelligentsia on the side of Barack Obama, those people do not reach liberals in the sense that conservatives are reached. Conservatives want to know the issues because they're willing to look them up. Liberals who vote, when we're talking about the Latino vote, the youth vote, the African-American vote, possibly the Asian vote. I will not include the Jewish vote, and there's a reason why.
Because you're biased.
No. I'm telling you why. I'm going to explain why. But anyway, but those particular microcosms of the vote, they will not listen to the issues. They will listen to rhetoric like Barack Obama. Oh, he's going to be in Harlem. Oh, he's going to be at the Apollo Theater. Oh, he was singing. Oh, he's going to be on Saturday Night Live. Oh, Barack Obama was at Summer Jam. Oh, they pay attention to that kind of rhetoric. Those people don't pay attention to the issues. They like the cool president. Those little microcosms of the liberal vote. So there's where that group is going to find something nuanced about Barack Obama doing something as ridiculous as showing up on Broadway. They're going to find something great about it. No president has ever done this before. As if to suggest because no president has done this before, him doing it makes it cool. No. Anybody with half a brain knows... Why would the president be singing on Broadway to get money? This is a...
Because he's about to be out of a job.
Of course. No, I'm sorry to say this, and I hate to be so disrespectful, but this is a shoeshine boy act. Okay? That's what this has been reduced to. I've got to sing and dance now?
And you know he's going to try to sing that Al Green song and totally butcher it.
Of course.
But I don't think that this is going to help him in any way. And if it helps him, it's not going to help him win the presidency again. It's not going to help him get reelected.
It's not going to bring new voters to him, that's for sure.
You're absolutely right. This is only going to appeal to the voters who are voting for him. You're absolutely right.
He's trying to get money. But, you know, his money issue is a big deal because, you know, he's getting money from Bain Capital. So he can't go after Romney for being a big money Wall Street guy when he's getting more money from Bain Capital than Mitt Romney is.
And he can't go after anybody with any ties to Wall Street when he's got three of the biggest Wall Street people, you know,
bundlers.
Almost in history.
And you and I know that, but, you know, the average, you know, Occupy Wall Street voter probably doesn't know that.
Hasn't a clue.
And they should be ashamed of themselves that they're out there protesting about something that they don't – I mean, they have no clue. They don't even know what they're protesting about.
Did you guys see the movie Inside Job?
You saw where the
Wall Street people and the bankers would go from banking – to the administration, and then they'd get some laws changed to benefit their industry, and then go right back to a cushy job in banking again. And it was all under his administration since 2008.
Yeah.
And that's why Matt Damon turned on him. You know, Matt Damon called Obama out, said he was disappointed in him, and Matt Damon is as liberal as you get. He's a Massachusetts liberal. So he lost Matt Damon for crying out loud.
Wait a minute. Hail to the Chief. Okay, I'm sorry. Inside Job is a different movie other than the Denzel Washington Spike Lee movie?
Yeah. This is a Inside Job is a documentary on the economic crisis since 2008.
Oh.
Yeah, you would like it. That inside job. Not the Spike Lee bank heist movie. No.
Oh, okay. Can I get it online or?
You can probably get it on like Netflix streaming.
What's the name of it?
Inside
Job.
Okay.
It's a documentary.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna look it up. Let's take a break for a little bit. When we come back, we'll finish up the show. We'll do the last hour. It's Reese on the Radio. Stick around.
Last half hour.
Last half hour? Yeah, last half.
Thank you.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, Reese, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
But our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Reese on the Radio, and we are back. A good 36 minutes after the hour, last half hour of the show. I'd like to thank, of course, all of my guests for calling in. I have I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to work this out. I have friendly neighborhood white guy or friendly neighborhood white man.
Floridian.
No, friendly neighborhood white man or friendly neighborhood white guy. I'm trying to figure out how I can make this sort of like an acronym. So, for Mike from Florida. So it's like FNWG or I don't know how I'm going to work it out. But
what did you say?
Friendly neighborhood white guy or friendly neighborhood white man. I don't know exactly how I'm going to do it. But it doesn't work
FNWM.
Out. FNWM. I don't know. It doesn't work out very well. Yeah, it doesn't work out very well.
Fenma.
But I referred to him in an email to someone. I was sending an email
or
to somebody.
Fenmeg.
Yeah, I sent an email to someone, and I was explaining to them who he is, and I wrote this acronym, and I said, friendly neighborhood white guy, and I said, you know, a frequent caller, a huge supporter of the show, and we love him, and I just... Literally, he's just one of those guys that I really love incorporating into the show. So when I refer to him and I go, friendly neighborhood white guy, and someone asked, I kid you not, someone asked, are you sort of billing him as a hero, like a superhero? And I went, that immediately popped in my head. I was like, well, I did get inspiration from Spider-Man, but I have no idea why. So it sounds a little silly, but that's where it came from. It's just trying to explain that whole thing.
Okay.
And, of course, Edward from Connecticut, of course, our NJC producer, Sal, in Boston. We talked about this last week briefly because there wasn't much to say. We knew it was stupid. And that was Mayor Mike Bloomberg of New York limiting certain stores like 7-Eleven and movie
theaters,
Starbucks, from selling anything larger than 16 ounces, except in stores. As this whole thing about this campaign...
No, except in bottle.
In a store. You can't. They don't stop you from buying a 2-liter in a grocery store or a 20-ounce Coca-Cola.
But you can't buy more than a 16-ounce...
Fountain soda. Right, you're absolutely right. A fountain soda, anything that comes out of a fountain... You can't purchase that above 16
or
ounces.
Or venti coffees
right.
In Starbucks.
Right. And Bloomberg says that he is trying to force us to understand. His words, not mine.
He's not trying to take anyone's right away.
Yes, but we have to force you to understand.
He's not trying to take anybody's right away.
But he has
but
to
he
force
ha-
you.
But the American, but this is to force the American people to understand.
Right. This is
that
what
obesity
he, what he said
is
in,
a problem.
It's what he said in an interview.
You can go and buy 216 out. No, because this is what he
well,
said.
Well, that's why I'm going to let
but
him.
But he explained to people.
Well, this is why.
Listen, I'm, fatty. You can go and buy whatever it is you
Mary,
want. I'm not. No, listen. I'm not going to stop. What?
I have the audio of Mike Bloomberg. Let's let him explain it himself.
Fine. It's hilarious.
Well, the way it would work is simply those organizations, that those industries that we regulate, which are restaurants and movie theaters and carts, they can still sell 32 ounces of a sugar drink to you, but they'd have to put it in two containers. And the idea here is you tend to eat all the food in the container in front of you. If it's a bigger container, you'll eat more. If somebody put a smaller glass or plate or bowl in front of you, you would eat less. And at this point, there's an epidemic in this country of people being overweight, bordering on obesity. The percentage of the population that's obese is skyrocketing. In New York City alone, the number of deaths from smoking has declined so much, and the number of deaths from obesity has gone up so much, those two are about to cross. We're going to have more deaths from obesity than from smoking. We've got to do something about it. Everybody's wringing their hands saying, got to do something. Well, here is a concrete thing. You can still buy large bottles in stores, but in a restaurant, 16 ounces is the maximum that they would be able to serve in one cup. If you want to order two cups at the same time, that's fine. It's your choice. We're not taking away anybody's right to do things. We're simply forcing you to understand that you have to make the conscious decision to go from one cup to another cup.
Forcing you to understand that you have to make a conscious decision.
Yeah, we're not regulating you.
Yeah.
But
what a blithering idiot.
Yeah, but no. You
and how so you can walk in the movie theater, get yourself
two sodas.
No, get yourself the biggest popcorn ever.
Right, not regulating that.
They ain't regulating how much candy you can buy.
Exactly, how much butter you can put on said popcorn.
How much cotton candy you can buy.
Absolutely.
Well, that's not butter that they put on
but
there anyway.
But if you
that's
want a large
oil.
Drink, you're going to have to.
And it's actually not too bad. It's like somewhat of a healthy oil, but healthier than butter. But, wow, that's retarded.
Well, the way it would work is simply those organizations, that those
sorry,
industries
sorry, sorry,
that
sorry.
We.
I apologize. I just hit the button by accident. No, here's where this is why I brought this up. Because today it was reported in the New York Times.
Okay, wait a minute. Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
And the facts are, in New York, in New York City, state of New York, whatever.
Right.
The sugary drink soda consumption has decreased 24% already on its own.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes.
I did not know
because
that.
People are more health conscious. So people,
this is true.
That is already declining. So why are you now going in and trying to regulate something that people are already... If you're trying to regulate... You're not going to regulate soda consumption. Don't you have something better to do? Don't you have criminals to be catching?
I want the guys to get... I want everybody to get in on this, but let me just get... I want to get...
It's like, what's next, though, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what's next. Trust me, I'm so glad you said that, JC.
Check this
Here's
out.
What's next. Bloomberg backs plan to limit arrests for marijuana. Now, listen to where I'm going with that, okay?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
You want a big soda? You got to get two or three.
Right. So,
bring a friend to help you carry.
Now, he's going to limit the arrests for small amounts of marijuana. This is already passed in Massachusetts. Back
in Connecticut.
And in Connecticut. So now he wants to limit the arrests that are being made for small amounts of marijuana. So in essence... This is an administration in New York City that's saying it's kind of okay for you to smoke weed, which of course induces munchies, but you are going to have one
that's
pistol.
That's going to drive the crime rate up.
Wait. You're going to have one pissed off pot smoker when he shows up at the 7-Eleven and he's sold. Yo, where the hell is the big go? What's going on?
Wow.
See you later.
I mean, come on. What is wrong? I can lose it right now. Mike, Edward, please Help me out here.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous because, you know, could you just get your Coke with no ice and then get a cup of ice and get more Coke in your soda cup?
That's exactly.
7-Eleven, you can do that, but you have to pay the same amount, that cup of ice, that you would pay for an entire cup of soda.
Yeah, I think this
some places will charge you like a nickel just for the cup.
Well, 7-Eleven charges you the entire price, just like you were getting the cup full of soda. They don't play around.
Are you kidding
me?
I should.
No, we've been saying no ice for the longest. Very little ice for the longest.
Wait. Are you telling me that if I go to a 7-Eleven and I get a cup of ice, if I get the $1.39 size cup of ice, I pay the $1.39?
Most definitely.
Yes.
But if I'm at 7-Eleven, I can just buy the liter-sized bottle of Coke anyway out of the cooler, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And what's the point? It's stupid.
Well, the big Coke's a lot cheaper.
I think that hello?
No, Edward, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that I think it was Mary and JC. You know, they said something that you know, he's limiting the amount of soda you can drink, but you're allowed to buy as much popcorn as you want to. But that's for now. He's leading us down a slippery slope where maybe next year he'll say, hey, you can't sell, you know, popcorn more than 12 ounces.
You know what?
What do you guys pay for a movie ticket up there?
I wholeheartedly agree with you on that. I think that that is exactly what him and his wife are doing, and his policies and his cabinet is doing. They're trying to turn this country into a socialist.
But wait a minute. Now, hold on. First of all, usually when you have regulations like this, and I'm sure everybody will agree, and Mike, to answer your question, I believe in New York City, ticket prices are upwards of like $11 to $15.
And let me jump in real quick. You know where a movie theater makes its money? How that model works. They make their money in concessions, right? That's why a Coke is, you know, $6 at a movie theater.
This is what
if he eliminates that 32-ounce Coke, what's your movie ticket price going to be? $20? $25?
I think that they're going to do, and this is how, again, the market is going to respond. Because they can't sell those larger items, they have to compensate somewhere else. Nobody's going to buy two
but
sodas.
You know what?
So you're going to raise the price of the soda.
First of all, I don't think this is going to pass. It's only in legislature right now. I don't think it's going to pass. Coca-Cola is already thrown a fit. They are like, we are not having it. You're trying to regulate too much now. They're not happy with him.
No, and nor should they.
And Coca-Cola is, you know, Pepsi used to be humongous. And I'm not saying Pepsi's not still big.
Well, the number two company. But
isn't Coca-Cola number one?
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Oh, yeah, big time.
You're having pushback by the number one soft drink company in the country. Maybe even in the world.
Oh, it most definitely in the world.
Okay.
There's nobody bigger than Coca-Cola.
It's never. I don't think it's going to get passed. I really don't. I don't think it's going to get passed.
Even if it doesn't get passed this year, let's say 5 years from now, some other politician has the same arrogance to propose the same thing. It may get passed. If you think back to when airlines at one point, you know, I was old enough to remember where you could smoke on an airplane.
Right.
Me too.
Yeah, I remember.
You know,
people.
And eventually they kept pushing and pushing and pushing. So now you can't smoke anywhere near an airport without getting a ticket.
Yeah, but you know what? What I feel is going to happen, because Mary doesn't believe that it's going to get passed, but I would like you to venture this, if you would. Right now there is a campaign that is successfully being run by Michelle Obama in getting companies like Kraft and a slew of others to take sodium out of
We've
talked about this often. So my point is that do you believe that if Coca-Cola pushes back on this legislation, that there'll be a smear campaign
by those people? Kraft and these companies like this to eliminate sodium, people know that, you know, sodium is bad for them. I mean, they know the sugary drinks and stuff like that is bad for them too, but it's not – you're not really – so you take out some sodium. You're not really removing anything from the taste, honestly. You're not taking out enough of it to have some type of drastic change on the product, right?
Right.
This is a huge movement. Coca-Cola is that, and then those companies were given stimuluses in order to in order for them to sign on to this movement. So, okay, I can kind of understand that. They probably were kind of hurting anyway.
A little financial motivation.
You know, Coca-Cola doesn't – there's not enough stimulus to give to Coca-Cola to amount for the loss that they are going to end up taking behind this.
Right.
Well, they may,
I mean, no amount of stimulus that you could give to them that would make that would even that out or put them on top.
Right.
Go ahead. It's interesting. They may not take a loss. This is why I'm saying this. When my wife and I go to the movies, usually we'll buy a large soda. And the large soda, let's say, just costs $5.50
wow.
for the two of us to sit through a we live in Connecticut, so the price is a little bit cheaper.
Right.
So, $5.50 for, let's say, a 32-ounce soda. My wife doesn't drink that much. I drink more than she does. So it evens out. Now, let's say, you know, this sort of proposal was passed in Connecticut where we're limited to 16 ounces. We'd have to each buy a 16-ounce drink, which would probably cost $5. So then we both end up – we'll end up paying $10 for, you know, the same amount of – the same fluid, you know, 32
that,
ounces,
again,
but in two separate cups.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
right.
So,
you know what, though? You know what? I think you're right, and it probably will happen, but I think people will protest that.
Oh, they'll protest it, but it depends.
I don't
not
see.
I do.
You are not going to get between Scott Americans and their soda.
Not buying it.
But no, see, New York is a different animal.
And I can put a 12-ounce Coke in my pocketbook.
No,
I don't need to go. I don't need to go.
I appreciate.
I can put candy in my, you know.
I appreciate that, and plenty of people do. In fact, concession prices are so high, more people are opting to go to the closest CVS or Walgreens to go buy their candy.
I can put a Ziploc bag
right.
of popcorn that I made at home the way I wanted it.
You're absolutely right. Well, here's
hell. I'd rather be at home having a drink.
No, it's
oh,
it's
I've done that.
Well, yeah. My argument
is
New York is a different animal here. I really, really believe that the culture of New York might really sign on to this. I don't think you'd be able to do this in other places. You're not going to do this in Kansas.
But
it's never going to happen.
New York is changing
I totally agree with Grace.
New York is changing so rapidly that even when I go home, okay, 42nd Street, it looks great, you know, la, 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 whatever, but it's not the 42nd Street I knew. I knew 25 Cent Peep Shows. You know, after going to the club, after going to Studio 54.
Why do people always reference that?
After going to Studio 54, going down to 42nd Street and taking pictures with your girlfriends and whatever, with the little things up on the
Yes, I know.
I totally agree that New York is changing, but there's one thing that is not changing about New York, and that is it is full of liberals. And liberals love to infringe on other people's rights as
they
long as you
do.
Don't infringe on your own.
Exactly. This is the only and this is what I know about New York, and this is why I have the biggest problem with that city, is that they are the only place, and I heard this someplace on the radio the other day, and I've really paid attention to this, that New York is the only culture where people in power say, I don't eat meat. And I only eat vegetables. I'm a vegetarian. And they will actively go out there to make sure that everybody eats vegetables.
Well, New York is the only city that they ask the ice cream man not to come around no more because I can't take all these hollering kids.
Yeah, right.
Suggest something like that.
Exactly.
A neighborhood gets together on the Upper West Side, right? Am I correct?
You're absolutely right.
We don't want kids out here screaming. This is disturbing us. We don't want the ice cream man coming every single day. You know, the screaming kids are getting on our nerves. We got to put us.
So the kids can no longer. Exactly. This is the type of.
I can't say no to my kid anymore. And every time this ice cream truck comes, I'm so depressed because my child wants ice cream and I don't want to feed him ice cream because it's bad for him.
San Francisco.
Obesity is a problem.
San Francisco.
You know.
San Francisco did this. And as a lot of you know, San Francisco was one of the first cities in the country that got a small group of women who actively and apparently
successfully
got McDonald's to pull out of selling Happy Meals. And they I love the way McDonald's responded, but this is what the group did. The group said, one woman went so far as to suggest that she didn't want McDonald's to sell Happy Meals because when she walked past the McDonald's, her child asked for a Happy Meal, and she felt bad telling her daughter no.
And yeah, how ridiculous is that?
That's ridiculous.
She didn't want to deal with the pressure of having to tell her daughter no to upset her daughter, so she got with this group that got them to get rid of the Happy Meal. They came up with some lame-ass excuse about they don't, you know, the calorie count and how obesity and all that other stuff. The way that McDonald's responded, which made me laugh my head off, was when McDonald's put out an ad the next day that showed a whole bunch of kids eating Happy Meals, and they were talking about how now if you buy a Happy Meal, the money goes to Ronald McDonald's House to help children in need. It was brilliant.
That was brilliant.
It was brilliant. So in essence, it was sort of like saying, oh, you don't want to buy a Happy Meal? Those poor little Ronald McDonald kids will never, ever get another donation. Because
you
don't want to
help the kids with cancer.
Yeah, you don't want to help kids with cancer. You know.
I find it kind of funny that in some cultures in this country, you know, if a kid asks for a Happy Meal, you will have a parent say, "I wish this kid would ask me for a Happy Meal, knowing I don't have any money."
Exactly. There are kids in Africa who wish there was a McDonald's with a Happy Meal for crying out. Are you kidding me? You ask a kid, would you rather have rice and peanut butter tonight or a burger with fries? Burger with fries.
Yeah, right.
What's this stuff?
Do you like this wheat paste that Bono brought you or a burger?
Exactly. Hey, this peanut butter paste just fell out of the sky from a helicopter. Which, do you want this or the Happy Meal that just got shipped from Ronald McDonald House? I think we know where this one is going. So it's amazing to me. So again, like I said, New York. Look,
it's changing. It's not.
I know.
Every time I go home, every single time I go home, I look around and I'm like, damn, this is not the place I grew up in.
It isn't. It's over. New York is over. It's over.
Let me show you guys a quick thing about personal responsibility, okay? We'll be out of time. I was at the grocery store today, you know, doing a little shopping, getting cat food. And there's this woman in front of me checking out. She's got a pile of crap on the conveyor belt. Now, she was fat. When I say this woman was fat, she was fat enough that she could use a hula hoop as a belt. Okay, she was fat. Right? So, I mean, like 5'4", a solid 350. More chins than a Chinese phone book. I mean, she was fat. Okay?
You sized her up?
Oh, she was huge. I couldn't help it. She was right next to me.
Okay.
Well, she's got a pile of crap on the conveyor belt, and I'm looking at it, and it's all frozen dinners and microwave lasagna and a case of soda and pies and crap, and then a big bag of Paul Newman's organic dog food. So the dog gets organic food, but she eats microwave lasagna and washed it down with a soda. So there you go.
The dog's got to eat healthy, but not her.
And
yeah,
the dog probably has that animal care credit that they have health insurance. And
yeah, right.
Well, she probably pays for that from her welfare check.
Oh, Mike, that is definitely a promo tomorrow. I love that story. Oh my goodness.
Well, you know, I'm a personal trainer, so I see these people all the time, man. And, you know, it's – let's just say that if not for marijuana, I wouldn't be as accepting of my clients sometimes. Because when they come in and they say, you mean I can't have 10 sodas a day? I'm like, do you want to sit on this treadmill for 10 hours? Because we can do that, you know. You're paying me by the hour. I'll sit here all day with you.
I love it, Mike. Oh, guys, thank you again, Edward, as always, man. Thank you for always joining us, man, and checking us out. Sal in Boston, I know you're listening, and thank you for chiming in. A bevy of great topics today. Tomorrow, we're pushing the show back to 9 o'clock. I'm going to be getting in late, but we're going to push it back to 9 o'clock. And we'll see you tomorrow. As usual, it's Reese on the Radio. We love you. For Mayor, why you bugging? And for JC, the producer, I'm Reese on the Radio. And we'll see you then.